and someone was teaching, and I thought, you know, if I had the opportunity to speak to someone that didn't know anything about Jesus, what would I want to tell them? And now this is something that I came up with last week, and we didn't do the lesson. But if you have someone that's really never heard the gospel or never responded to the gospel, what would you want to say? And if you have some ideas, these are my ideas. If you have some ideas, I'd like you to share. My first idea was John 3 and 7. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again." We Christians have 137,000 denominations. Talk about unity, huh? We're so divided that the Lord's going to have to do a job when he comes and gets us. Well, wait a minute, who are you? But Jesus said, what if we just boil it all down to one point? You must be born again. Doesn't really matter your denomination. Doesn't matter how many generations your family's been going to a church. Really what matters is what Jesus said, that we must be born again. And then going on to these other scripture, and this is very familiar scripture. Matter of fact, you can't hardly go to a ball game without someone holding up John 3:16, and it's a verse that is so well known. If you see that sign, you kind of know what they're talking about. How many agree with that? When I see John 3:16, I'm thinking, for God so loved the world. And that's what the verse is. Let's go on there and Sharon, would you like to read 14 through 17 for us?
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
I think if I'm going to represent a part of God and a part of God's word, this is what I want people to know, that God loves the whole world. Sometimes we get to thinking, well, America's it as far as Christianity is concerned, but America is just the beginning. And we're by no means part of the first that got to take the message of Christ to the world. We're just Johnny come latelys. A few hundred years ago, we became a nation, a couple hundred years ago, 242, I think. And before that, we had people here, and they were establishing churches and goodwill and godly area. But we've not been around that long. When God looks at the world, he sees everybody that he loves and cares for. Even some of those that have kind of made themselves enemies to America, Jesus died for those people as well. I'd want people to know that God loves them and that he loved us so much that he sent a son. I only have two sons. God only had one, and he sent his son. Now, he knew he was going to get him back. And I know my sons are born again, but I wouldn't give them up for hardly anybody. Well, definitely for anybody. I'd offer to go instead, but no way. I don't want to give up a son, but God loved the world so much that he put his son. Number one, when we get to heaven, we're going to appreciate Jesus even more, because Jesus left heaven to come to earth. We have a song that we read the other day. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, our debt to pay. From the cross to the ground, from the ground to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. But again, Jesus left heaven to live a life. Now, he didn't come in the 2019 when we have all of these wonderful, you know, conveniences. He came back 2,000 years ago when it wasn't that convenient. And he walked in most places. He rode a donkey a couple of times, but most of it was walking and going through hot and harsh times so that he could end up on a cross, crucified, and giving his life for you and I. And now that we believe in him, we not perish but have everlasting life. Now the reference is made in verse 14. Excuse me just a minute. The reference made in verse 14 takes us back to the book of Numbers. We talked about out of the book of Numbers, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, about Balaam and Balak and Moab and how the children of Israel was there and they wanted to get the best of Israel before Israel wiped them out. Before that, there was a time when the Israelites complained about Moses and God. They bitterly complained. Look what you've done. You've brought us out here where we have no bread and all we've got is this manna stuff. We're tired of it. When you put on a restricted diet, it gets tiring very quickly. But they were on a restricted diet, the manna, and God provided water, and they complained. And God sent fiery serpents. And then they complained about the fiery serpents. Matter of fact, it says in the Word of God that this is the first time that Israel ever went to Moses and said, pray for us, intercede for us with God. We can't take these fiery serpents. And God told Moses to put a snake on a pole and lift it up. And when the people looked at that, they would be healed and the snakes would be gone. How many recognizes the symbol of a snake on a pole? That's a medical symbol for today. So it's still working for someone. But we have even greater than a snake on a pole. We have Christ lifted up on the cross, paying our debt for us. To me, this is something that I'd want to get across. God didn't come to condemn. He came to give life and hope. But people that push Jesus away, the scripture says they're already condemned. They've condemned themselves. Anyone have anything you'd want to add to this? In the book of Ephesians, and it's the second note there, Jim, would you read for us Ephesians 18 through, let's do 18 through 18 and 19. That works good. 18 and 19. Yeah, 18 and 19. And this is reference to the Spirit of God that we spoke about this morning, how that he can be so much a part of our lives. Don't be drunk with wine, which is a comparison of the Spirit, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, just have the Holy Spirit ever flowing and your life, and then our singing will be better. How many believe that? Pentecostals are the best singers ever. Of course, that might be a little biased, but I've always been Pentecostal. I went to a Baptist Sunday school for a while, but I didn't cross over. I stayed Pentecostal. And now, Debbie says that the Church of Christ are better singers because they don't have music. They just sing. We went to a funeral a long time ago, and there was a man in the back, stood up, and he started the song, and everybody joined in. And I have to admit, he was pretty good. But when you sing without music, it makes it harder. Your voice better be right. But anyway, what we do and how we sing can be anointed by the Spirit of God. And we always want to give thanks and praise and honor the Lord Jesus Christ and submit to one another. Sometimes that's not so easy. The idea is not so easy. But we submit to one another on a horizontal level. In other words, we're all equal. A lot of times people want to be the boss, even in the church. We don't really have bosses. We have pastors and teachers, but we're all on the level playing field. And we need to submit to one another. We need to care for one another. We need to have one another's back. When we submit to God, we submit upward. We submit to God because He's above all. And that's a different submission. God is up, everybody else dead level even, and that helps us in our getting along in the church and seeing God move amongst us. It's a good thing. Claire, you want to read a verse? Read verse Philippians 4 and 6. Audrey, would you read verse? Oh, you want him to read? Verse 7, Evan. Thank you. Donnie, would you look up, I don't have it written down, John 17:17. And Audrey, would you read verse 8 there in 2 Philippians 4, I'm sorry. I think that verse gives us a whole lot of good advice. And Donnie, did you find that verse? My buddy, Buddy West, posted this on Facebook, and then he got mad and said they took it off. But I found it, but he had misquoted it. So let's read it from the Word. That's John 17:17. So I want to go back to the Philippians verse. The reason I would want to share this with people is that life can worry you to death. If I ever stood before even a group our size tonight and I said, how many's never worried? I don't even think the kids could raise their hand. That's kind of something that's a part of us. We worry, we get anxious. But many times what we get anxious for turns out to be nothing at all. I remember years ago I went somewhere with the Cub Scouts. We lived in a project house in Oakland in Lockwood Gardens. And I came home, and it was a little later than usual, and everybody had gone to bed. And I tried one door, and it didn't work. Now, in a project like this, you don't just go around the house, you have to go all the way around several buildings, several units, rather. So I went around and tried the front door, and it didn't work. Now, we didn't have cell phones. I could have knocked, but why would they lock me out knowing I was coming home? But they didn't lock me out. I went back around and the door would open. I just didn't try hard enough. Sometimes we get all caught up and worried about why would somebody do that to me? And at the end of it, they didn't. Or it was a misunderstanding. Life is full of things like that. But the scripture says, even things that are just boldly in your face, don't worry about them. Worry doesn't solve anything. But by everything, by prayer and supplication, really seeking the Lord, and add thanksgiving to your requests when you pray. And I think this is a wonderful lesson to add thanksgiving and to seek the Lord and His mercy. And then the scripture says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to change back real quick. That battery has actually lasted, those two lasted a pretty long time. When Audrey said a while ago that Jennifer had felt the peace of God that passes understanding, in some situations, I look at people's lives and I think, wow, Lord, they've gone through so much, and yet God's mercy touches them and helps them and enables them to make it through. And so the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our focus is on Jesus. Our focus is on being born again by the experience that Jesus has given us as He died on the cross for our sins. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit is focusing on Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, everything by prayer. It's all committed to Christ. And then verse 8, I think, is one of the verses that just runs through so much good for us to meditate on. You can think all kinds of things. Your mind can have things run through that, whoa, where'd that come from? But the scripture says, whatever things are true, boy, I wish the whole world could get a big dose of truth. I heard someone say, that was kind of a commentator the other day, we don't care if it's true. We want an end result. And I thought, Okay, so you don't care if it's true, you just want what you want. That's a person that didn't get enough spankings. I guarantee you, not enough spankings. Because when I was little and I wanted what I wanted, my mom explained it in real terms that sometimes you get what you get and don't throw a fit. And we were all about being taught to be true. Don't ever go with a lie. It leads the wrong direction. But whatever things are noble, of a higher essence, whatever things are just, you know, we've had, I don't know to say hundreds or thousands of police officers who have died trying to get justice in situations. And yet there's so many that are against justice. They want it again their way. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there's virtue and if there's something praiseworthy, meditate on these things. It's worth our time to focus on the good of God and the Word of God. Every encouragement that we can find, every daily thought that lifts us up, every scripture box that gives us promises, whatever it is, the Word of God is truth. That's why the scripture says, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. That's a verse Donnie read. Truth is so very important to us. Our salvation did not come from a lie. It came from only truth. And there's nothing that anyone's going to get outside of the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's one way. It goes back to what Jesus said in John 3 and 7. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. We must be born again. Anyone have a comment or anything you want to share? Yes, Donnie.
So, you know, everything about it is either all profound and supernatural and amazing, or don't take any of it at all, because why? Why would you? If there was something in the Word that was at fault, then how could you believe any of it? You know, and so, you know, when dealing with folks who had that approach, that, well, I take this and I take that, I say, don't bother. Don't take any of it. Because why would you? If you don't have the faith or the trust that it's true, then don't leave it alone, you know, because none of it, you know, there's just no reason to believe any of it. I said, I have to take it all because, you know, it takes a step of faith, but you take it all. You know, you take it all. If you believe that Christ is the Son of God, you know, then, you know, everything in that book is true, or leave it alone.
Yeah, if you don't take the whole counsel of God, it does you no good. And can you imagine human beings giving God a half-hearted rating? Well, I believe some of it. Until we come to the point that we accept the word totally as God's word, it really doesn't benefit us. Does that mean we don't have questions? Not at all. God answers questions. Jesus was never like, "You stupid guy, why are you asking me a question?" He answered the question. And oftentimes in answering the question, he gave you and I ways of life. He gave us absolute, you know, words that were going to kind of stick with us and help us when we needed it. Anyone else have a thought? No, it's not a puzzle that you can take half of it and make it work. We've got to take the whole word and let the Lord work through us. What we have difficulties with, go to God. Where could I go but to the Lord?
Well, and what we don't understand, God will reveal to us through prayer what he wants us to know.
That's right.
He's going to reveal it to us through prayer.
And we're going to have a big reveal when we get to heaven. Right. To me, that's going to be the most exciting thing in the world. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know this. And the people we're going to meet and the family and so forth. Donnie?
I think it's important to let people know that, too. Not to be harsh or critical, but, you know, there's a lot of folks who kind of ride the fence and sit somewhere like, I feel some safety in the fact that I believe in.
Yeah, a lot of people want to put God in their box so that he's their God and at their beck and command. But I heard years ago Robert Blake, who played on TV, Beretta. And, you know, he was quite the guy back in the probably 60s, 70s. But he came on a talk show and he said, "Oh, yeah, God and I are good buddies. I call him Louie." And I thought, I'd slap you good calling God Louie. God is God. And nobody has the right to change his name. When I want help, I'm calling on Jesus. I'm not calling on Louie. I'm not taking any chances to get on the wrong side, or the wrong side of God. Anyone else have a thought?
Code of many colors, like he used that for an example. They don't know what he's talking about.
Wow.
Or a Damascus Road experience. They have no idea what he's talking about. So he has to teach them from the beginning. And so somewhere along, someone failed the young people if they don't know the basics of the Bible.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of kids, and they got taught, I think, the truth. And most all of them would know that. Claire and Evan are lucky they go to a Bible school and they teach them Bible and no compromise. I appreciate that. Audrey, did you have a thought?
Well, yeah, I mean, all these scriptures are really amazing, wonderful scriptures applicable for life. And, you know, there's been plenty of times where I needed to use, you know, be anxious for nothing but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Things that are not true and things that are lies or things that the enemy
Right.
But their focus is on what has God done, what is God doing, what are you doing for the Lord, and like praise reports.
I think kind of if you focus on the good, then when you get the bumps in the road, those good things come to your rescue and help you out. I believe that. And when we pray for someone, we want the truth. We want what's going to work. And I've been praying for the last couple of days that God, I had a good example in Debbie. I said, God, raise her up off of this sick bed, because yesterday she didn't get up, so she slept. But Friday night she didn't sleep, she was sick. But all day Saturday and all day last night, but when she got up today, she's been up all from the morning until when I left. And I thought, that's a good start, but I want her up and completely free of whatever that was. Same with Sister Watson. Lord, raise her up. Get her off the sick bed. I was reminded of Peter's mother. Jesus prayed for her. She got healed immediately. I don't know what was wrong with her, but it was something, because she evidently she took to the bed. But when she got up, she immediately started cooking dinner. Now, I'm not asking for dinner. I'm just saying I want to see people raised up. I want to see them up, changed, different, able to get up and move around and all of that. Any other comments? Then let's pray. Part of our prayers for our church family that need to be raised up. Let's pray together. Precious Savior, we pray that you'll minister to help, that you'll touch Sister Watson, give her a miracle of getting up. Brother Henry, strengthen his body. Brother Arton, strength, Lord, during this time that he's sick. I pray, God, for relief, healing, and mercy. For Brother Giles, just an ongoing strength. For each and every one, Lord, we all face limits. We all come up against things that we used to do and we don't do anymore. And I just pray that you'll give us restoration and strength, Lord. We need to be able to get up and go. We need, because of the life that you've given, I pray, Lord, that every day that you give us, that we'll be able to get up and go and do what we want to do. And Lord, in all of that, we praise and give you glory. We're thankful for your hand upon us, for those that are needing comfort from lost family members, those that are facing dire disease, bring healing and mercy. I pray in the name of Jesus, for the glory of the Father. Amen. God bless y'all. Like Tiny Tim said, God bless.